Welcome to Motorcycles and Misfits at the Recycle Garage here in Santa Cruz, California. How y'all doing out there? Hey, we got in the house today. We got me, Liza. We got Douglas.
Present.
We got Megan.
Hey.
Jake.
Hola.
We got Lucas.
What's good?
And Leif.
Hi.
You boys are sounding good over there.
What's Gucci, Liza?
So let's cover what we did today. Let's see. Well, we went to breakfast. We had
that was so good.
Some nice eggs. I complained because it's still warm in the 70s here, and I have a fabulous sweater collection I'd like to be able to wear, damn it.
Well, that's
and I'm getting no sympathy.
First world problems.
You're the only person I know who is excited about wearing ugly Christmas sweaters.
I didn't say they're ugly. They're Gap.
It's
a
dapper?
She
Gap.
The gap.
Oh, this is dap.
Dapper. Dapper would be nice, too.
Need a top hat.
So, let's see. We had some of our fallen came by to visit. Zoe came by, and Mike came by in his new cast. And they both talked about projects they're going to do as soon as they are physically capable.
Oh, poor guys.
Keeps you going. And let's see. Jake got a new surprise today.
Woo!
What'd you get, Jake?
I got a moped. Sorry. I got a moped.
No way. That's rad.
It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, so we found a moped for Jake because you are not yet driving age.
No.
But you are moped age.
Yes.
So, and you get to work on it because it is a non-running, abandoned in an alley vehicle.
Woo!
Well, we had it running.
You're excited about your new Heap, huh?
Yeah.
It ran for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it ran. And then it...
Hey, that's progress. It's the first day.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Most people don't get that on the first day.
Right.
Exactly. So. And Dan came by to work on his weird two-stroke thing. I forget what it is. And he had success. Got it running. Got spark, all that. And we took turns taking it down the road. And then Douglas went to go ride it and didn't come back.
Of course.
We all know what that means. When somebody goes down the street and doesn't come back, they're probably pushing.
Yeah, I got down to the parking lot, and the little, what's it called again?
Woodruff key.
The Woodruff key sheared off again.
Yeah, so yeah. He's shearing.
What is a Woodruff key? I've never heard
it's
of one.
When you take off your flywheel, it's that little piece of, it's a half moon. Piece of metal that slides into the
you have two smooth surfaces to go together, and there's a channel in both, and this is a key that slides into that channel to lock it in place.
Oh. And so apparently it just sheared in half.
Well, the first one sheared in half. We didn't know why. We put in a brand new one, and it sheared in half. So now this is bigger problems. Now he thinks that his bike might be grenading.
Yeah. All he said was, I have a really bad feeling about this. That's about as technical as that got.
his bike's just possessed. Let's it's just haunted. Like throw it in the ocean and forget about it.
Spray salt on it.
Oh, and Mike, a.k.a. Moik, came and worked on his Ducati a little bit more. Successfully got some broken bolts out.
He's like, he got the bolt out, and he's like, well, I don't really have anything to do. And he would do something. I don't really have anything to do. And he would, like, another 4 hours of this, and he kept finding something to do.
He can stay as long as he wants, and we'll put him in work doing different stuff, just like Leif, who dropped by today and was helping out.
What does he have left to do on that Ducati? Like, what's step number?
Well, he needs to get a new battery. He's waiting on a new battery, and he's soaking his carbs right now. Then he'll put them all in, change the oil,
that's
and see if it...
That's a carb bike? How old is it?
Yeah. I don't know. 90... I don't know.
Damn, maybe, I thought it was like...
I don't know.
I thought it was newer than that.
I don't know. So then he'll see if it runs, and then he's also ordering all new sprockets and chains. And then he has to deal with the front end and the split fork tube.
Oh, he split the fork tube?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a stunner bike. Stunners.
And
he's a Ducati Rida, Rydah.
You have to S-B-E-L-L it out, huh?
And Lucas, you weren't here earlier because you were on a plane, but...
I wasn't on a plane. I was sitting on my ass waiting to get out of the airport. My parents' flight got delayed. We took two different flights, and I'm stuck waiting two freaking hours in the terminal for them, and then it takes us like another hour to get a freaking car, and then I have to go hook up with my dad so he can drive me to Santa Cruz, and I'm like, why didn't I just ride to the freaking airport or some shit? Like, fuck this, man. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a debacle, but I made it in time for the podcast, so debacle. I'm pretty excited.
That's a good word.
Well,
yeah.
We had a
debacle.
It was a debacle of epic proportions.
Epically.
We had another slug show up today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
His name is...
He's like, where's that fucktard, Lucas?
Fuck you, Doug.
He's an asshole.
No fucking way he said that.
Do you know that jackass that rises?
No, you want to know the honest truth? I said, oh, do you know Lucas? He goes, yeah. I went, the douchebag? He goes, yeah.
He was just agreeing with you.
It confirmed it.
Maybe he got a note on his bike.
No, he hasn't gotten a note. So here's the thing.
Nose clean.
He came by on his CBR, his 600RR.
Oh, he's got an RR.
It's really pretty pristine. Very it looks clean. Good.
Yeah.
Now here's the problem. He said it randomly cuts out. And then first he was saying...
Like, does it lose power or does it just shut off or
like,
what?
He said like three times a ride it would do it.
Would the entire dash go blank?
He said no. His lights and everything would stay on, but it would just lose spark.
That is
and
really
then start
weird.
Back up. And he said somebody on the internet said it was their run stop switch and that they had to take it apart and clean it. So he wanted to take it and resolder the wires and just bypass it. And we're like, no. Mike is like, no, that's like a $70 switch.
No, you don't want to, dude.
And the bike,
you know how much
has,
that would be a bad idea if you completely cut off your engine cutoff switch. Like,
the bike has 8,000 miles on it.
And 2-inch chicken strips.
And
maybe
I'm like,
he has yet to be written a note one of these days.
Well, I said, I really don't think that this switch is the problem. This bike is way too new. It hasn't had time to even get it gunked up, but he seemed confident that it was a switch, and so we let him take it apart and clean it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's it. I have no idea what it is. It's almost as if the wire is loose
what,
or something.
What year is it?
It's an 07.
It's an 07 only 8,000 miles.
You know what? It's got an alarm on it.
Yeah, the guy put an alarm on it.
The guy put an alarm on it, dude. That's the problem.
I think this motherfucker jury-rigged that shit. He goober-engineered the shit out of it, and now that alarm
well,
is...
he's only had it a week.
Look at it this way. The rear brake sensor was, like, bundled up and tucked underneath the seat. It wasn't even attached.
That is goober... Who the fuck did he buy this bike from? It's gonna, like, fall apart in a fucking week.
This is the thing. And I said, so why did the guy sell it? He said, because he just wasn't riding it anymore. I said, maybe he wasn't riding it anymore because it had all these problems, and now you just bought these problems.
Maybe he wasn't riding anymore because he was a dumbass, and he just gave up.
Be nice.
It's always a possibility.
Lucas, I saw a RR on Craigslist the other day. It was like, traded this and it's way too fast. Must sell. It was like $1,500.
Dude, that sounds like a scam to me. Nobody's going to sell that shit for $1,500. But that's really interesting you mentioned that, because I had sort of a similar problem with my RR, which had similar goober-engineered problems. What would happen is that it would actually shut off, but the whole bike's power would shut off. And so I was wondering, well, maybe it was something with the battery. And when I opened up my seat, I found out that everything was very loosely connected. And the only reason it was on in the first place was because my ass was pushing the contacts together. So I thought, maybe it's as simple as that. But I don't know. This sounds really weird, like some kind of strange electrical problem. And you know when they have electrical gremlins, that's like, uh-oh, you know, bad times ahead, man.
Right, so we really don't know.
Wait.
I said, look, dude, plan on taking off all your plastics in your tank and getting down to the
what
wires.
What was the guy's name?
Jeff.
Fuck.
What?
I remember having a Facebook conversation. It's like, I'm going to go buy this bike. It was this last Thursday. I'm going to go buy this bike. Anyone want to come with me? And I'm like, I really wish I could, because I could tell if it's a piece of shit right away. But unfortunately, I'm... I got class, so I can't help you out. But I told them, like, look for all these things. Look for shitty wiring. Look for, you know, like, abused forks and stunted bikes and everything. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, well, shit.
I mean,
now I feel kind of a little bit responsible for saying it was probably okay. And there probably weren't major problems with it because it was so low mileage, so...
To me, if there's something like this, a problem with this at 8,000, is this something that that Honda is responsible for?
I, you know what? If you told me that all the fucking
he's already voided the warranty by putting that alarm in there.
Oh man.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's happened on other bikes.
Unless you got it.
I can.
I doubt it.
I can almost assure you guys.
Does the alarm cut the spark?
Yeah. Well,
what if it's just like sitting in his pocket and like is hitting the fucking button in his pocket?
He said he disabled the alarm.
Yeah. but I'm pretty sure
normally the alarm would cut the power.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is just like a really simple thing because if it's got 8,000 miles on it, it's not like some terrible, horrible short going on in the inside or like the reg wreck isn't gonna explode or something like that. It's something really stupid and it's something that he or the previous owner did to this bike. So you just kind of have to go back and unfuck it, and I'm sure you'll figure out what the problem is.
Go back and
well, if you see this CBR up on campus, chat him up because we weren't much help for him. I mean, I don't know.
If it's like an 06 or 07, that's really similar to my own bike, so I can probably lend him a hand or something. So
I still think you need to take. He just didn't want to take anything apart.
He didn't want to take anything apart. Why not?
He had no problem with me taking his shit.
You know, I can feel you. If you don't know how exactly it goes back together, you might
spend 3 hours
guessing.
It's just because he wanted to watch you bend over, honey.
Yeah.
Little butt hairs.
Now the whole world knows. Right? Now the whole world knows.
Yeah, funny. I think you're funny.
Don't make fun of my butt hairs. That's the beauty of a podcast. No one knows who you're looking at when you say, honey.
I'm pretty sure they know.
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry.
I think that's what went on today. I'm not even going to talk about the XL70 monster. It's putting up a fight. What? You have a luck.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a hard time about that gas.
Uh-huh.
A fuel filter is not going to take out rust from the gas.
Rusted yes, it is. Gas. It's going to take out all of the mud from
no,
the tank.
It's not.
The fuel filter will.
No.
Okay. What happened that I'm not aware of here?
So the inside of the gas tank is completely rusted, and like if you slosh it around, you can see the sediment at the bottom, which is the inlet for the petcock, right? Is on the bottom.
That's why I put a big filter on
and,
it to get all that shit.
And you, if you look at it, you can see there's like sediment in the filter. It looks like a used coffee grounds. And she's like,
I know,
running. It's not running. I'm like, your gas smells like vinegar. And
I need to cycle it through.
Is that
a couple
why it was
times?
So smoky?
Oh, I don't think so.
Have you solved the valve issue yet, or whatever the exhaust valve?
No, I found more problems now.
The timing is off.
I found more electric problems, but I had to redo all the electric, so that's my own issue.
Did you ever clean a gas tank with BBs?
The last
clean the gas tank.
The last gas tank I cleaned, I put bolts in it, and then I wrapped it in a garbage bag, and then I wrapped that in blankets, and then I wrapped that in another garbage bag, and then I lined my dryer with pillows and shoved the whole thing in the middle and turned the dryer on.
Awesome.
That's
and it took so much rust out, it took parts of the tank off, too.
It was like Swiss cheese after that.
Did too good of a job.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why I didn't want to do it on this one.
BBs might be a little more...
yeah, some ball bearings, maybe.
Mellow. Yeah, ball bearings.
I know.
Yeah.
So, Megan, we've got a new segment now. It's called Megan's Craigslist Porn Pick of the Week.
I've got a couple picks this week.
So Megan is going to each week try and find a deal, a bargain, something for under $500. And then we're all going to look at it and tell her if we think it's shite or not.
Okay.
Scheisse.
So the Motor first Scheisse. One, it's the title is Black Friday Special, 1982 Honda Nighthawk 450.
Good
19K original miles, $500.
Ooh. Sounds great.
I'm selling it because I can't ride due to hip and back problems. The bike is currently registered until June 2014, but I placed it on non-op. The bike will start but will not stay running. carbs need to be cleaned.
Okay.
It has 19,000 miles on it, brand new battery, and you will also be getting a new clutch cable. I bought one and never put it in it. I also have new plugs for it. The tires will probably need to be replaced, but are in decent shape. And the fairings are with the bike, but they are not in the pictures. And you will get the original owner's manual. See, is in good shape.
Original owner's manual.
So I'm going to pass it around. You guys can
So far, that I think that sounds like a pick of the week.
I think it's a good deal. I found the other, you know, another one.
$500 for a starting motorcycle?
Yeah.
Well, those Nighthawk 450s are pretty cool, especially for shorter people. That's a great beginner bike.
Are we sure that this isn't like a salvage title or something?
Well, no.
No, but...
Ooh, that's a good thing to ask, though, if you're looking for a deal.
Because if this was non-salvage, that would be like, holy shit, buy it right now.
I know.
You could pick it up for four, even. Yeah.
If you shove cash in his face.
Yeah.
You could be one of those guys who's like, yeah, I only brought four. Take it, leave it. I only brought fucking four. Hate those guys.
And I bought a hamburger. So like $3.95.
I bought a hamburger. It was $100.
It was the best hamburger ever.
I bought 50 hamburgers.
So, here.
I'll trade you a hamburger.
Show those to Doug and that picture.
I saw it already.
I'm not finished looking at the pictures. Let's see here.
That looks good.
I say great for
pretty beginners. Crusty. It's pretty.
I was just about to say
my bike was pretty crusty. Pretty dirty,
but the first picture, it looked pretty good. And then you
and what city is this at in?
I think it's in Fremont or where?
Fremont, California.
It's in the Bay Area. SF
looks
Bay
all
Area.
Max, kinda.
I'd rather pay four for it.
Well, yeah.
I'll give you about tree fitty.
Tree fitty.
I'm sorry.
Well, Megan, I think you found a good deal. Let's see. Oh.
But it's for one day. That was 2 days ago.
Yeah, Black but Friday, it said. But only. It says if the post is still up, then the bike is still for sale.
Yeah.
I feel like two people that are like, my wife's making me get rid of it, or I have to pay rent, or I have a health problem. They're just like, I want to get this thing the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah, but that also attracts scammers. They say the same shit.
It's
they
got
say,
the
like,
Comstar
my ex wife is making me sell this bike, and that's why I'm selling it for like $2,000 instead of $10. Like, send me the money through PayPal, and I'll ship it to you. Like,
this would be a fun project.
I also live in Thailand.
You could bob that really, really well.
That is none of your concern where I live.
Tires really soon. So, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe more like $350. You'd have to buy a couple tires.
Tree-fitty.
Tree-fitty.
Dude, I told that Loch Ness Monster. Got you that Loch Ness Monster in the house.
I also found, and ooh, I just nice. Think it's kind of cool, I found a 72 CZ175 Enduro for $200 up in Dublin. And they don't really say much about it or what kind of condition it's in.
Well, let's first start with the fact that I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
So parts are probably going to be
hard to find. I just
but
think it's kind of cool.
It is kind of a cool.
Very pretty.
I don't
know. That thing is rad looking.
It is kind of a cool looking bike. Yeah.
Man, that thing is retro.
Yeah.
You know, it looks
like
an old Honda Dream.
Yeah. Or Peugeot make one?
Are those pinstripes or is the tank just like severely warped or something?
I think it's painted.
Like their little knee things, you know?
No, I'm talking about those. Are those pinstripes?
Oh. This thing's going to be impossible.
Yeah, it's a little red fucking.
Dude, that is
feathery.
Hella classic.
It is.
I just don't. You heard right.
usually see
I am from Northern California and you're going to have to deal with it.
He said hella.
You guys are hella hating right now.
Unacceptable.
Go back to SoCal. Go back to SoCal.
I can see this is going to be.
Go home.
This is going to be a dangerous segment for us to start doing. It's going to be hard not to go buy some of these things now.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about it is that the rear fender is red and the front fender is white.
Eh.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Spray bomb.
It doesn't say if he has papers for it.
Yeah, that's. But for $200.
All right.
Eh.
That thing's cool.
Yeah, that for people looking for deals, first thing I tell people to ask, do you have current papers?
Mm-hmm.
Is it currently up to reg? Because I've gotten stuck with so many bikes that have back reg. We all talk about our DMV stories.
Yeah.
Oh, loady.
And if they don't mention it, then it's something to look for. So, hey, I want to take a moment to bring up one of our new ads from our sponsor, MotoBandito.com. Here it is.
Hey, ladies. Tired of wasting precious minutes blow-drying your hair after your morning shower? Well, me too. Introducing the Moto Bandito Exhaust Pipe Hair Dryer Helmet. This little stroke of beauty shop genius allows you to dry your hair on your motorcycle, on your way to work. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just slip the universally sized hose adapter over your exhaust tip. Plug the hose into your special order sized helmet, and let the dryer unit handle the rest. If you reach your destination, your friends and coworkers will never be able to tell you use the Moto Bandito Exhaust Pipe Hair Dryer Helmet. Comes in these fantastic colors. Pink, light pink, light pink, dark pink, pink bonanza, and pink a colada. Get yours today at motobandito.com. This product has not been tested, ever. This product has not been approved by anybody, anytime. Side effects may include sleepiness, lightheadedness, bloating, farting, yodeling, counting backwards, death, pig nose, lunging nipples, and square eyes. Moto Bandito is not responsible for your stupidity or your responsibility.
And we're back. All right, so the next topic is we got an email from Ollie in London.
Ollie.
Woohoo! Ollie. So, Ollie says that he just, actually last year he bought a non-running 1977 CB750F. He put in some new fluids, sorted out the electrics, got it running enough to take it up and down the road, but not much further. In other words, it ran like shit. And then he had to stick it back in the garage for a year. Now he's taking it out, wants to get it back on the road, looking for tips. So, Ollie, we got some answers for you. Also, you got a t-shirt coming.
Yep. Woo. All the rest of you slackers waited too long. For your free t-shirt's gone.
I'm just stoked that he bothered to email us, dude. Ollie, you're the fucking man. Rock so, on.
Our big topic today is what I like to call revivinating a bike.
Yes.
Jake is learning the steps right now. Woo-woo. On her moped. Megan's gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
Leif's gone through it.
Many have revivination.
We've all done it.
Lucas buys nice bikes. So. No,
I never revive them because I sell them when they start to get shitty.
Right.
I sell them to squids and then I buy a new bike.
So you can listen and learn. So Doug and I wanted to put together kind of some steps, and basically the first thing you can do when you get a bike, I mean, it's always a risk when you get a bike. You really have no idea how much it's going to take to get it going. As a rule of thumb, I tell everyone, plan on spending a minimum of $500. Right there. Because you know you're going to need to get, you know, battery, probably new tires,
battery,
stuff like
oil,
that.
Tires.
So the first thing we do when we start working on an old bike is pull the carbs. Everyone's done it now.
Definitely pull the carbs. Even if you don't think it needs it, if it's been sitting, all that gas is dried up, like we saw today,
yeah.
Jake, just do it. You're going to have to do it eventually. Just do it right off the bat.
Pull the carbs and clean them. A little trick I like to use is using guitar strings to get through all the jets.
Getting the really tight bits.
Yeah, the tight bits. And do it thorough. One of the first bikes I revived, I had to do it 5 times until I got it. I don't know what I was missing, but each time you go back and you find another little hole somewhere and spray it with carb cleaner, use an air compressor on it, whatever it takes. Also plan on buying a battery. Depending on upon the bike, batteries run $25 to $125, right?
Right. Around there.
You can find a $25 motorcycle battery.
Yeah.
The 6-volt ones were like $13.
Well, it's for a mini bike. I mean, like, how do you find like a full size, you know, 12-volt battery
you don't.
For $25? Like,
you don't. It depends on the bike, like she said.
eBay.
Yeah. Well, the XL175, a little 6-volt, didn't take much.
I hear you on the $500 figure, but I usually don't spend $500, dude. I spend way less than that.
Maybe you just made smart decisions, or you're riding on like several different death traps, so to speak. So
combination of the above.
I use that when people are, if you're buying a bike, say this $200 bike, and then they say, oh, and it has $300 in back wrench.
It's a fair assessment.
And then add
$500
on for whatever. use that just for judgment.
And the little stuff adds up too, you know, like the spray paint adds up, the sandpaper adds up,
Spray paint's pretty expensive. I mean, like you're doing like a
like fully $8 a can or something.
Yeah. You know, it's more the like, little I think stuff it's like 10, adds up.
But if you got like a fully fared bike, it's gonna take like 4 or 5 cans.
Hey, it took a lot.
You know, plus primer and gloss. And it's going to be about 100
Then
bucks.
That hair lands on it, and you got to swipe it off with your finger, then you got to redo it.
Or then
the little bugs.
So the next thing, change the oil. And you want to look at the oil. I've had bikes that had mayonnaise come out of it.
Yeah. It may have no oil. It could have all leaked out.
Well, do you mean literal mayonnaise?
Talk about when you bought the DRZ. Or
when I bought the DRZ.
No, when water gets in, mixes with the oil, it creates a mayonnaise consistency.
It's like white, sludgy stuff.
Yeah, that's how they make mayonnaise?
So that tells you that...
That's better than how I thought they made mayonnaise.
So that tells you water's gotten into the engine. So that's something to look for. And I've also had bikes that came out with a very thin, thin oil. That's because the carbs had leaked and let all the gas into the cylinder and down in the engine and filled it up. I've had 2 bikes that did that.
Yeah. We had a bike here that did that.
So check the oil and see what it looks like. You never know how long it's been since it's been changed. And for whatever reason, we end up changing it a few times because we always end up having to drain it again.
We always fuck it up
for something. We
gotta keep taking the side cover off.
You want to take a couple, Doug?
Sure. On the fluids note, just replace the gas, drain the gas if it's been sitting for a while. Water gets in there. It loses its gasnicity.
As we learned in the zombie apocalypse.
Is that a technical term, Doug?
Yeah, that's, you guys know what I meant.
Gas goes bad.
Gas does go bad. So just drain it. You don't want that gas in your carbs or in your engine. So just drain it right off the bat. If it's been sitting, I'd say longer than like 6 months to a year, just go ahead and drain it right off the bat.
It's not going to be that expensive for a new tank. Just don't fuck around with it, okay? One thing I've learned, I've never revivinated a bike, but I've learned that an ounce of prevention saves you a pound of misery or whatever that saying is when it comes to bikes. So
you can
do it first.
You can reuse that gas, you know, for cleaning parts.
Sure. Yeah. Good if you have for a bin degreasing. We have a bin with a pump in it, and it's our parts cleaner. So chain and sprocket, important too. You will obviously want to replace the sprocket if it's got that shark fin kind of look. If the chain is is tightened all the way to the end of its, you'll see the little lines on the swing arm.
If the axle is hitting the back of the swing arm,
it's time
it's
to not take out. Take a link out, but just replace the whole chain.
Yeah, you know, if one goes bad, replace both of them. You don't want to fuck around having, like, worn sprockets and a new chain or vice versa, because they'll end up just fucking the other component up, so you don't want to mess around with that. Just do them both.
If it's got hydraulic brakes, you want to make sure they're not stuck. Sometimes the pistons get stuck. And the brake fluid will actually dry up in the lines, and that's where the guitar string, again, comes in handy.
A good tip, if you have a bike and the brakes are locked up on it, take a mallet and whack the caliper.
Rubber mallet.
So I said mallet.
Right.
A mallet, not a hammer.
We're
mastering. When all else fails, just whack it with
whack it harder.
Yeah.
And whack the caliper, and that usually will unstick
it. You might have to buy like a master cylinder rebuild kit, but I've completely taken apart the master cylinder and the actual caliper down to every single individual piece, and usually that takes care of the problem, unless it's super pitted or...
Well, the thing is, calipers have very few moving parts, but are... If they've sat a long time and anything is not greased right, you don't want your brakes sticking.
And that shit
it
oxidizes
can cause
after a while, too.
Problem.
The oxidation will break your seal.
I'll tell you something that you'll probably disagree with me, but everyone will tell you if you're rebuilding a brake cylinder, master cylinder, if it's pitted, scratched, throw it away and get another one.
Right.
I've rebuilt so many pitted, scratched cylinders and just reused them because... I don't know, I'm a cheap bastard probably. And they've worked for years after that with new seals.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can get a few years out
well,
of it.
I mean, away with it. The reason they tell you to do that is just because you're taking a gamble. I mean, I'm sure if it works, you know, that's fine. But if you're me, I'd rather just replace the whole damn thing and not worry about it.
Well, you can get leaks, and it can then wear the rubber out faster.
That's true. And also, some bikes are notorious for having master cylinders that no matter how many times you rebuild them, it's a ticking clock. You know, like my 05 ZX6R. Brakes went bad, rebuilt it, bought a OEM kit from the dealer, and they're like, your master cylinder's just gonna go bad again in like a year. Like, just buy a new one. So, there's some bikes like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm just gonna sell it. Thanks.
But I do wanna say that even if it seems it doesn't need it, I put the brakes up there very high. On most of these bikes that we get and we revive, I have people take apart the calipers and the master cylinders because it's simple. Mm-hmm. The kits are cheap, and it's really important.
Yeah. It's the most important component. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you might be able to get up to speed, what's going to stop you, right?
If you've got a new battery, new gas, and did a once over and it's still not starting, you need to look at the electrical, or maybe ask yourself, why was it sitting for so long in the first place? Why did somebody just leave it here? It's probably something very simple, but that usually kills a lot of bikes. So if bike's not running after you did all those things, check for the spark. See if you got spark.
Check for
it might not be a bad idea if you don't know the state of the bike to start out with, or sometime soon, do a compression test. And if the bike is worn out internally, if the rings are going and you find that out, you might decide it's not even worth the effort,
right,
of doing anything else to it. But it's not usually the case, you know. Usually a bike is sitting and just needs some minor love,
just needs a little TLC.
Well, like, just got people easy. You know, just needed a new master cylinder and
right, that's why the guy didn't write it. The master cylinder was deteriorated.
That was all
the battery
needed.
That was it.
And which bike is this?
The CM400.
My first bike.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. The CM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any old bike. If we're talking about, in this case, like an 80s bike or an older 70s bike, there's going to be certain things. Rubber things go bad. So that's where your master
cylinder... If you don't
cylinder...
use it, you lose it.
Okay. I knew I couldn't get around that. That's where the master cylinders need to be rebuilt. Another thing I do on my bike, so I guess there's different levels. A lot of the bikes we do here are, let's just get it running and get it on the road. Just, you know, keep it simple. But then some of my bikes I do where I tear everything apart and rebuild everything, I replace wheel bearings because I figure on bikes this old, those bearings could go out, and bad bearings is no joke.
What happens? Does it lock your wheel up?
Yeah. It can lock your wheel.
It makes a really bad sound as it's doing it, too.
Yeah, that sounds not that
no
great.
No one's mentioned tire pressure, either. Like, when
jump in.
When Doug rode the DRZ home, the first time bought it, he got back and he was like, tire was kind of squirrely. And then what was the you checked the PSI
13,
and what was it?
13.
Yeah, you rode it over 17 with like no oil,
50 miles.
No coolant.
Dude, the thing had a shit battery. It had like 12 pounds. The coolant was low
and
oil was
no
not even reading
oil.
On
it
the
was
dipstick.
Scary. When
and
you
I rode it
back
on a twisty fucking highway.
Sometimes you have to go with your feeling.
Yeah, the tire was a little squirrely.
So, I mean, I know I've gotten bikes before, which I'm pretty sure had like 35-year-old tires.
Mm-hmm.
So, who wants to comment on tires that look good? Oh,
we've been seeing a lot of that recently around here at the garage. We've had people coming in with bikes that they're like, well, I don't know, I'm like, my tires aren't gripping that well. I mean, they got plenty of tread, and you look at them and. If you know, for those of you who don't know, every tire has a little area on it where there's a 4-digit code, and the first 2 digits represent the week, and the last 2 digits represent the year. So it's the week of that particular year. And so you can check the age of your tires, and I guess I'd say, just to be safe, anything more than 2 or 3 years old is crap, because what happens is your tires can get heat cycled, the oil in them dries up, and so they just become like clay. They're like hard. They don't grip.
But see, there is an argument on a lot of the old bikes I've ridden. They get so hard, they're never going to wear down. Look at these Trail 70s we're riding.
Yeah, but they're never going to keep awesome. Your ass up no, either.
But you're also riding the Trail 70s at, what, 20 miles per hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is neck-breaking speed on those bikes.
When you scale it up to a real motorcycle, it's like, you know, like 80.
Yeah. It's exponential. Yeah. So
this number on the side wall is in a little oval. Yeah, like you said, it's just four numbers, week and then year. But
if you're unsure, you just bought a bike, or you're like, just check the freaking tires, and if they're more than a couple years old, just toss them, because it could end up being hazardous, you know. You don't want to end up low-siding because your tires are all old and worn out. And another thing I noticed is that if you look at where the edges of the chicken strips are, if they're yellow or kind of yellowed, I've noticed that that means that they're also kind of pretty old and grungy, so you might want to replace those too.
Well, in the cracks, we see the cracks all the time.
Yeah. You got a sidewall crack, you better throw that thing away immediately. That could go kapow when you're riding it. You don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, that's why I always say just think about getting new tires on these old bikes if it's been sitting a while. Megan, what else have you had to replace on these bikes?
I don't know.
Have you guys talked about air filters yet?
No.
Petcox.
Who uses an air filter?
I know.
Yeah.
Airbox.
You know, a couple of cocktail napkins, call it good.
Mm-hmm. Petcox had to go through.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, leaking from there. We just created a new seal. Doug created a new seal for it last time.
Oh, I just flipped it over.
It's a little trick on a lot of the old Hondas.
I flipped over the seal.
When your petcock
you
goes bad.
You used the cork.
No, he didn't.
No. Oh, the seal connecting it to the gas tank. Yes.
Use the cork.
Yes, use the cork, Luke. We also had to do the trick with your old gas tank that we actually didn't end up using. We put a bunch of nuts and bolts in there. I counted like 25 different little nuts and bolts into the gas tank with a little bit of gas to get the rust out, and you shake that mofo for like
hours. I guess
and you don't wear a bra, and you wear a really low cut shirt when you do it.
Yeah,
too.
Of course. And then you take photos and post them to our website, and you can
send you a t-shirt.
I guess we're on to now checking the tank.
This is
so, yeah.
This is how couples go through motorcycles. Yeah, we get distracted.
I'm starting to feel dirty in the middle now.
I still think it's worth checking your air filter.
Go ahead. We'll cover the gas tanks after the air filter.
Okay.
Because this is something, I will admit, I shake it out, the spiders out, and put it back in.
No. What I do is I just hit it with like a pressure hose or an air compressor or something. But
hers fell apart when I took it out.
Yeah, literally fell apart.
So I think I used a sponge or something. I fabricated something. No, it was a microfiber towel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I just kind of wadded it up and stuck it in there. So if you're listening,
so safety first.
The air filter thing is a lot more important if you're buying like a sport bike or a bike with like an enclosed air box.
Right.
Because they're a lot more susceptible to being like totally disgusting and never being changed. True story, I bought my first kind of sporty bike, 600 F3, CBR 600 F3, it was 97, and I didn't know shit about maintenance back then. So I didn't know to check the air box, and it was only after mechanic suggested it that I pulled all the parts off and I look at my air filter, and it's a regular standard paper air filter, but the fucking guy had oiled it like a performance K&N filter. So it just attracted fucking dirt, and it was black.
Nice.
It was black. And I swapped it out, and it got, no joke, like 30 more horsepower. I'm not even joking. Like, it went from gutless to power just from changing that air filter. So it makes a really big deal. Make sure you're not choking your bike.
That's a good one. Let's see. So back to the gas tank. So, Leif, have you had to clean out a good gas tank, rust?
Yeah.
What method do you use?
I do it with BBs and gas or water. Just put a bunch in there and, like they said, topless. Shake the hell out of it.
You don't have to use, like, CLR or anything?
Well, you can, but, you know, if you already have BBs, like I did.
Then you gotta flush out the other
To get them
shit.
Out is tricky.
You use gotta, gas.
Like, you hold upside down for ages and use a magnet, and there's probably still one that's gonna be in there for
there
the rest
of your
life.
There was one in there.
Yeah, we did that exactly.
And
it's
then,
okay.
Like, a month
fine.
Later, it knocked out, and Doug took a little magnet, and he attached it to...
Safety wire.
And it was like going fishing.
Yeah. So let's go to Leif here. Leif, you got a what did you get recently? You got a new addition to the family.
Yeah, I actually got a pretty clean bike that I don't have to work on.
Just come by to gloat.
This is a
now.
First. Yes, it's a 2000 Kawasaki ZR7, and yeah, I kind of hit the wall and got tired of working so much, so I sold my project bikes and was like, yeah, I'm gonna get one that just goes. Yeah, put gas and oil in it. Yeah, it goes. It's wonderful. It's great.
And that's your main commuter bike now, yeah. Right? Are you actually driving up to the city yet?
Yeah, I've had it up there like 3 times.
Have you guys done anything with that right GS up. Yet?
I've looked at it a little bit. So I took Daniel.
I know that point where you just stare at it sometimes.
We need to think outside the box on that thing. So I took Daniel through the carbs, and he did a good job. And then I went through the carbs again. And so it starts up, and it runs hella lean. Hella. And
you're just gonna have to get over it. Like,
I'm not so, but I'm just gonna start checking other things. Check, you know, the timing and the points and the compression. I check anything I can think of because I'm pretty sure the carbs are good now. Although, man, I've like on an old Chevy truck one time, I went around and around and around with a carburetor on that thing forever. And it wasn't until I got another carb body like that, then it was, boom, that was it. Like, I could clean that carb for days, and it would never work. So
sometimes they're just too far gone.
It may come to just getting more carbs. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to check some other stuff first, though.
Yeah, see what they're going for on eBay, because that's the sketchy thing is sometimes you'll buy them, and they'll be worse than what you got.
That's true.
I mean, I try and do everything I can to get what I have working. Because it doesn't mean you'll get something good.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, somebody else has been into that GS and put a lot of work into it. It came with a whole sheaf of papers.
Oh, really?
So that's why I kind of think there's something going on that's outside the box. Because that's why they sold it. They were going around and around in circles to get it running right. So all the normal stuff has probably been done to death.
And we didn't mention this is a GS 750
Suzuki. Yeah, GS 750 Suzuki 79.
Cool.
Yeah.
GSs are giving me problems now.
Yeah.
CBs, they're not as problematic.
I get that idea from reading on the forums as well that GSs are a little bit of a
Isn't that Davey's bike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
Honda
what I
reliability,
thought.
You know what I'm saying?
So, another thing I find a lot of times on when people get these older bikes, these deal bikes, I get on and that steering is stiff. It's either stiff or you want to turn the wheel back and forth, and if you feel that little divot in the middle where it drops down in, stem bearings, they get worn out all the time. And
especially in the flat states.
Is that good thing that's where we don't live.
You're riding in a straight line all the time.
So if you want to be just cheap, take the top triple tree off and grease it up. Just re-grease it. Remember on Moti's bike, that's all we did. We didn't replace it. We just greased it. And that did the job. But on other bikes, you know, buck up and put in new bearings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can expect on an older bike.
Bearings aren't expensive, are they? I mean, they're just...
No, it's the process.
It's the process. And we've actually created a tool to assist with that. It's basically a long threaded rod. On the end, on each end, we have two nuts, and there's two big.
Sorry.
There's.
Yeah, the nuts
typical,
usually at one end, aren't they?
Typical 21 year old.
That's what she said.
What was that?
That's what she said.
Anyway, before the nuts, there's two squares of thick stock aluminum plate. So you tighten those fuckers down together, and it just pushes the bearings into each side of the stem. So that it's like, just a tool we made in the shop here, and it works great. Otherwise, you're pounding and pounding and pounding away, and you risk damaging.
That's what she said.
All right.
Really?
You guys are probably making me turn red right now.
You are.
So.
Yeah, Doug, you do look a bit cherry red
flushed.
In the face.
You know, it's been a few days.
Okay. The other thing we always do is when you throw the battery in, check all the lights.
Yeah, check the lights. Make sure you have brake lights on each brake.
Brake, tail, and the headlight. Those are really crucial.
And the horn.
Though.
Make sure you test the horn
a
lot.
I know, but when I took the DRZ out today, there was
the horn.
Like... two times. I was like, oh, I don't have a horn.
I just got to rehook it back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I have a bike with a horn. I usually take them off.
You just go, meep, meep.
No, you just scream at them, Liza, right?
I just scream.
No, they have a bike bell on one. Ring, ring, ring.
Oh, here's another big one. A lot of these bikes we run into. How many people here have changed out fork seals? Yeah, right?
I usually sell my bike when the fork seals
exactly.
Ah, fork seals are tough. I'm selling.
Yeah. No joke, though. I'm going to sell my CBR at like 19,000 miles because you need to replace all that crap at 20. And I was like, fuck it. Just have it.
So, yeah, if you have oil coming out your fork seals, time to change them. It's one of those things. You take it into the shop, it's going to cost a lot of money because it's kind of a... time consuming.
It's just labor intensive.
You can do it yourself. It's not that difficult, right?
You can. Well,
having the right tools.
It depends on.
If it's a really old bike and it's been sitting for a long time, it's going to be difficult.
And then if you do stuff like forget to put, you know, the little nut.
Yeah.
How do you know the springs themselves aren't totally jacked? How do you know you don't need new springs?
Who cares?
If you want suspension, maybe me.
These washers as spacers.
I'll be honest with you. This is exactly why I've stayed away from the older sport bikes. I mean, I have a love. The GPZs and
oh, they're going to be jacked, dude.
Because I think I'm expecting a performance bike, but there's so many things. Like, the suspension is really the thing that I know is just going to fail me.
Yeah, my F3 totally needs a major suspension overhaul at only 30-something thousand miles, like 32. So, it goes bad really fast.
Yeah, but on all these other old bikes, these CBs and GSs, you don't care. You're not fixing it up to have that performance and suspension. No, you want to go down the road and you want it to stop.
Yeah, no matter what bike I've been on, if the suspension's bad, it kind of makes me feel icky inside.
Oh, weirdo.
I was raised on sport bikes. What can I expect, right?
Another thing to
not all of us are so lucky. Sorry, Lucas.
Oh, jeez. Another thing to expect personal to problems. Do. Yeah. Lubing cables.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Yeah. I've done a lot
Make
of
sure that.
That
throttle cable or the throttle snaps right back when you let go. Mm-hmm.
Take all your cables apart. Buy a can of cable lube and the little cable lube tool that comes with it.
And if you don't get the little tool, you'll hate your life for like 2 hours. We couldn't find the tool, I think, or the tool didn't fit for the CM. And I had to lube all those cables without the tool. And me and John spent like 2 hours doing all of those cables. It was ugh.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you make sure you inspect them all anyway? Like, you know, how do you know you're not down to like one single thread on your throttle?
Well, yeah, you inspect them, but expect that they've just gone dry and they need to be lubed.
Yeah.
That's something we do. And then if it does have any rust or fraying, replace it. Don't try to save it.
Yeah.
Another thing you see.
It's not worth it trying to save cables.
Another thing you see a lot is halfway down the cable, it might have wear marks where it's been rubbing on the engine or the frame.
Oh, yeah.
And when you can see those little ribs exposed that are the metal sheath, it's done.
You know, it can be really fun, though, if you know, like you break your clutch cable on the side of the road, is to figure out how the heck you're going to get that bike somewhere.
I know.
If you're not in a position to tow.
I know how to do it.
Yeah, you got a good solution. It kind of varies from bike to bike.
But I would like to know. Please enlighten me.
Turn the... Oh, wait. No, that's... Well, no, yeah. You can kick it into gear. You don't need a clutch.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you can quick shift if you're off the gas. You can just pop it up.
You kick it into gear.
Yeah, I just get it rolling and...
And then you just slip the clutch like a badass.
But if you break your throttle cable, you turn the idle way up.
There you go.
And you feather the clutch to get it going.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just turn that throttle stop screw all the way up, man.
Another thing that we look at we get bikes donated all the time, and you have to kind of assess, is it worth it? And some of the things to take into account, is it missing the side covers? Fucking side covers.
Can be over $100, depending on...
Well, if you have an idea of wanting to semi-restore it, or, you know.
What exactly is a side cover? Is it just like a fairing?
Piece of plastic that, like on old bikes.
You can see none of the bikes here have them.
No, it literally has a
SR500 right there.
Like that big. Yeah, just
those
like,
covers. Yeah.
They're plastic, but they go for a lot
What's
of money
a side
if they're
cover?
In good shape.
Lucas, Little Red has a side cover.
Yeah. Right, no, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Those guys, yeah.
He said it went over the battery and that was just like what clicked me. So
side covers are expensive.
Yeah, they can be.
Because they fall off.
It's pretty expensive. It's a hidden
And it's
Lucas,
always the right one because everybody has left ones.
Yeah, when one of my side covers fell off on the CM, I went to look at them. It was like $150.
So that's why you didn't replace it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cheap. I've seen them for like $300 for a piece of plastic.
Fuck.
Yeah, but when you have a bike that is in pretty good condition for a 30-year-old bike and then your one side cover flies off.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. You know, one side cover is going to have, you know, if you pay $100, $150 for it, what if you can get $300 more when you sell it because it's got both side covers?
Let me put it this way.
Then it'd be worth it to do.
You can see, you get a bike and it looks like a complete bike, but you got to add up maybe missing the side covers, maybe missing the left master, you know, maybe the brake master cylinder, maybe seized up. The seat's got a tear. The handlebars are bent. The tachometer stopped working. These are all little things. It just looks, sitting there, it looks like a complete bike. But you got to go down the line and think, some of these parts are $10 on eBay and some of them are $100. So you need to really assess.
Get that one out. Oh, good.
Okay, so speaking of old, crusty, rusted things, I'd like to take a moment to extol the virtues of PB Blaster.
Oh, really?
Do you use PB Blaster?
I have. I don't have any now. Well, because the good stuff, didn't they change it up in California?
No, you can still get PB Blaster. And it's for rusted bolts, there is nothing as good as PB Blaster. So you got crusty, rusty. It's a
spray solvent.
Yeah, it's like a loosening up rusty bolt. Like, freaking awesome.
It unsticks things.
That's what Mike needed.
It unsticks things. It's not a lubricant, but it just, like, for rusty bolts, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
That's and it looks like Dr. Bronner's just, like, riding all over it, and it's a really fun little
thing. Kind of like a liquid wrench, too.
Yeah, it's like liquid wrench, except the liquid wrench sucks.
There goes that sponsor.
Right. Oh, sorry.
Leaf does not. Leaf
I use liquid opinions wrench three times today.
Yeah. Bandito or the garage.
Just get a PB Blaster
sponsor.
What was that?
Better anyway.
What?
So another thing, let's talk about, and this could be.
Shut up, Douglas.
This Oops, could apply sorry, to a newer general. Bike and to an older bike. What are the signs you're looking for that this bike has had either a crash or a hard life?
Oh, this is really easy on sport bikes.
Check the mirrors.
Yep.
First
check
grade.
The clip-ons if it's got clip-ons. You
check
can
the,
tell
the levers. The levers are the first thing.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
the levers always show the first.
And then sometimes you know, like you get that the rubber grips if there's like grit or something. Lies up. It's so loud. you get the rubber grips. Sometimes there's like grit and shit packed into the ends of those.
Yeah, check
that
your bar
looks
ends.
Like it's been down.
Yeah, if your bar ends are also
foot
loose,
pegs, squish.
Like, you can tell if they're loose or they don't fit in properly or like the screw has been replaced with some kind of like, you know, friction screw thing. You can tell it's been dropped. But I'd say, you know, most obvious would be just check the frame. Because a lot of people will throw on bodywork that covers up the frame, but sometimes you can see if there are scratches on the frame, even small ones. Even small ones, and they're like parallel. You know that thing went down at some point. Maybe it was a drop. Crashes look like huge and gouged compared to a drop, which would just be like a few little short ones. But you can tell if there are parallel scratches on any part of the bike's frame, that is a guaranteed drop.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to wrap this up. We thank you for listening. You can reach us at recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
You got it, finally.
It
only took 14 episodes.
You can find us on Facebook. Oh, now I'm going to forget this one. At Recycle
Dash.
Santa Cruz. No dash. Recycle Santa Cruz. Facebook.com / Recycle Santa Cruz.
Also, motorcyclesandmisfits.com, which is why you're listening to the podcast in the first place.
Yes. So, again, thank you for listening. This is Liza.
Doug.
Megan.
Jake.
Hello. Lucas.
And Leif.
Thanks, we're out.
And Josie.
And Josie the cat. All right. Good night.
Pet me.
Cool.